The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter. This is the day in the, obviously, in the Christian calendar. And, you know, this is the day that defines the religion even more so than Christmas, which is something I didn't, you know, when I was a kid, I couldn't get that. I'm like, yeah, but we get all these presents on Christmas, and on Easter, we just get these chocolate eggs. But it is that day, and those of us who are Christians, will, I mean, this is the day to reflect on the whole thing. And I find it, what I like to do on the week prior to Christmas, starting on Palm Sunday, is read the Gospel of John. Because the Gospel of John, I mean, it even people who, if you're just studying Western culture and Western philosophy, and I mean, even up to and including today with all the, well, let's say, diluting of the principles of Western culture that's going on. And I don't mean the religious principles. I mean the philosophical principles that drew from the religious origin. In other words, the fact that each person is made by God, and that your rights come from God and not government. That's a very Western thing. Anyway, essentially all elements of Western civilization and even heavily Western literature can be traced to the Gospel of John. I mean, you know, I struggled for a long time and still not sure. I have a concept of the Logos, right? So the Logos meaning that the Word in the beginning was the Word, right? And it's a lot to grapple with, but I mean, this is the time of the year that we're supposed to be grappling with it. And if those of you who are Christian, this is the time to be grappling with it. And if you're not, you know, you can always just think of it, you know, a way to learn something about how we got here where we are in this civilization. And, you know, it's funny because I speak to people sometimes, and I had a guy who, we were just having a discussion, and it was an argument because I try not to get into arguments. I try not to change anybody's mind about anything because I figure they have their own reasons that they think what they think, but, you know, if I can nudge him a little bit, I try, but I don't really try to clobber anybody over. But this person I was having a discussion with said, well, you know, there's nothing religious or anything about the United States and our form of government. And I was like, man, have you even read, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator? I mean, it's right there. And he was like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Well, that's what I think. I think people aren't thinking, frankly, a lot of times. And, but yeah, so I like to read the Gospel of John. And it has it's a little bit more mystical than the other Gospels. And it has the sort of epistemological and ontological, meaning the way of understanding and the way of being, that are sort of laid out in that gospel. And it's not something, you know, I read it, I try to read it every year. And, you know, it's just something that you that's the one thing about it, is you can continue to grasp with it. It's ever deep, really. I mean, you can read it again and again and again and always probably get something out of it. And anyway, so that's kind of how I get ready for it. We used to, in our neighborhood, have Easter egg hunts for the kids, and we don't have any kids that are young enough in our neighborhood anymore. I guess there's a couple. There's actually a couple, but most of the kids in the neighborhood are kind of, you know, high school age now. And like, this is, again, my daughter's last Easter home. So all of these holidays tend to get a little bit, I guess they hit a little bit more emotionally as you are passing that crossroads in life, where you're moving. I mean, she is, and we are, like, in other words, she is obviously passing a threshold in life past which there's no going back. And you can move out of your parents' house, but you can never move back. I mean, you can move back, but it's not, you're not moving back. I mean, you might stay a while or whatever. But once you turn 18, you're your own person, and you are out in the world, there really is no going back on that. And that's how life goes. And that doesn't mean, I mean, could she move back in with us? Yeah, of course she could move back with us anytime, you know. Even after college, she wanted to come. Oh, you know, Mom, I want to live at home and save money for her down payment for her house. Whatever. It wouldn't bother me. And you know, there's cultures where multi-generational living is more normalized and all that. And I think there's nothing wrong with it. I just think kind of the way our culture is. And you know, what's interesting is this kind of does, you know, this whole concept of individualism and sort of the American ethos of go out and make your own way in the world and depend on yourself. That all goes back to the Gospel of John too. But so all of these transitions are interesting. And of course, for me, there was that. And then there was the time after I left home until I got married. And that was very brief. And then, I mean, what I mean is then we were married for 2 years and then I had a kid. So that whole, like, I'm married and don't have a kid, that was brief for us. Because we were getting along in age. My wife was 36 when we got married and 38 when we had our first child. Or no, that was me. She was 34 when we got married and 36 when we had our first child. So she was 38 when we had our second. And, you know, so that's the next thing. And so I'm still, here we are 17 and a half years later, and I'm still in that, okay, I'm married and kids, and the kids live at home. And so we're heading towards that empty nest situation in a couple years. And while there are going to be some things I really am looking forward to with respect to, okay, so this time is going to be my time. You know, I can do what I want to do rather than what everybody needs of me. And that's just a selfish thing. There will never be a day when I won't look around this house and think, man, sure was nice having the girls here. And that's, you know, that's another thing I think about Easter is it's a time, you know, obviously the message is the sacrifice and the resurrection. I mean, that's the whole idea. And I mean, again, I try to explain to people who aren't Christians that there's a lot to gain from, even if you just are looking at the philosophy, like, you know, Jesus is embodying that no matter how bad you've been, there's always chance for redemption. And I think that's one of the things that's just, you know, I mean, I think the resurrection is the ultimate metaphor of redemption, right? Not that Jesus needed to be redeemed. He is the redeemer, but I think the point of that story is, you know, you can resurrect yourself philosophically, morally, spiritually, physically. I did a little physical resurrection a few years ago when I first started. I guess it would be 3 years ago now that I started the carnivore diet and really started pushing myself physically. And now, you know, I'm still almost 30 pounds lighter than I was at that time. I'm still about 15 or 18 pounds heavier than my lowest because I still have trouble on the weekends. My daughter is a lovely cook, and she actually bakes things as well. And then, of course, you're making stuff and maybe have a nibble here and there. But during the week, I'm pretty rock solid on the carnivore diet as my chosen health, diet or health program, I guess. So you can resurrect yourself in any aspect of your life, physically, spiritually, at your job, you can do really anything that you are willing to put your mind to. And I know that's just sounds like something parents tell kids. Well, parents tell kids that because it's true. Now, you have to be a little bit circumspect about your definition of anything. Like, I can't be the president if I decided right now. I mean, there's just like too many years of things I would have had to done differently. And even then, of course, it's, you know, I never had any desire to do anything like that, or politics or anything like that. But the point is, you can do anything. That there has to be a realistic framework around that. You know, I could never have played in the NBA, regardless of how much I wanted to. I think the real thing you should say to your kids, which is what I pretty well say, you can do anything that you set your mind to within the framework of your God-given talents. And that includes most any profession and most any position and things like that. But, you know, are you going to tell your kid who is kind of okay at something that, oh, you can be a professional at that, you know? So it's, you just have to kind of be, like I said, a little bit circumspect about what you're willing to convince your child that they're able to do. But, you know, if you think of all of these things, you know, obviously I love to talk about Easter on the show on Easter Sunday, which it's one thing that I really like about St. Anthony's is it's a ministry. I mean, the act of seeing a patient in that hospital is a ministry of Jesus. I mean, that's what it is. That doesn't mean everybody looks at it that way, but that is the structure. That's how it's actually structured. In other words, St. Anthony's is a ministry of the Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. And in that ministry, St. Anthony's provides healthcare. And I just think it's cool being part of, you know, I went to a Catholic medical school in Georgetown, and I did my residency at St. Vincent's in New York City and Catholic Medical Centers in New York City. And then, I've worked, this will be 6 years here at St. Anthony, and it is, it's wonderful. I like it. And I like the fact that it actually is a ministry and that I can talk about those things. My previous position I really enjoyed as well, but when I was doing the show back then, I couldn't do this because, well, it was a public hospital, and so I was much more, I couldn't use public, and I'm fine with that. That's fine, you know, public funds shouldn't be used for that kind of stuff. But here we are at St. Anthony's, and so I hope everybody is enjoying this Easter Sunday, and you know, I think that we can forget sometimes, although I guess if you go to church, that's the whole idea, is not to forget that. But even if you don't go to church on Easter Sunday, you can use the day as a meditation. And what I was saying earlier about, you know, even if you're not, I mean, I think there are things to learn. You know, I'm a Christian, so that's what I believe. But I also think there are things to learn from other religions. Like, I think Zen Buddhism has some really great exercises for kind of keeping yourself focused and in the moment and things like that. So those of you who are not Christians, you can, you know, if you read the Gospel of John and just kind of think about it philosophically, I think you could get something out of it. You might get more than you would even expect out of it. But yeah, it's always, you know, the crucifixion itself, you know, I find myself sometimes thinking, well, where exactly did that spike go? I mean, as an orthopedic surgeon, I'm like, huh, what, you know, what part, was that the wrist or was it the hand? Because I've seen it kind of both, and it's not specific enough in the Bible, I think, to get a grip on it. But I have that sort of curiosity of, you know, because that's just kind of how I think, you know, I'm like, wow, that's as you know, what a horrible thing, but also just like the technical aspects of that. As an orthopedic surgeon, I mean, I just go along the world differently in that way. Like if I see someone limping, I'm doing everything I can to not stare, but to actually look and see, why are they limping? What is the cause? Is that their hip? Is that their back? Is that their knee? Is that, you know, is this something neurologic? Is this something, you know, is this an injury? You know, do they have, of course, you know, you see someone in a sling, like, oh, okay, so if it's a young person, they probably had this operation. If it's an older person, they probably had one of these two operations. You know, that's how everybody, you know, I'm sure accountants go through the world the same way. Like, I wonder what this restaurant charged me $1.50 for this soda. I wonder how much the soda costs. I wonder how much the cup costs and what's the overhead and insurance. I'm sure they think that way. But as an orthopedic surgeon, that's sort of the way I think. And I do go through the world looking at the body a little bit differently, I think, than other people. But anyway, you know, I usually do not talk about orthopedic things on the Christmas show or the Easter show. And oftentimes, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I do a fair bit of talk on either the 4th of July or Veterans Day, things like that, Memorial Day. But definitely am happy to use the show on Easter to talk about Easter and what it means and to remind everybody to be, I tell my daughters, your superpowers are gratitude and resilience. And gratitude starts with being happy for the earth being here and you being on it, and whether you're Christian or not, that's a good way to start the day. I mean, you know, be grateful for what you have and understand that there's a whole lot of other people out there. I've never seen the person who I think has it the worst. In other words, there's always people that I see and I can always think of, well, this person had it a little bit worse. So almost anybody, there's someone out there that has it worse than you. And even if you have it terribly, that can be a blessing in and of itself. And that is a place where I think you can find a whole lot of resources in the Bible if you are really struggling, either emotionally, spiritually, or physically, and therefore emotionally because of that, or someone, you know, a loss or something like that. There's a lot in there. There's nothing like reading it. You can listen to other people's interpretation of it, and certainly I think that's a worthwhile thing to do as you read through it, but there's nothing like taking those words in. So bless all of you. Have a wonderful, happy Easter, and I'll be back next week.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.